Hello, this is Dane Trethewan, and welcome to another of my podcast episodes on Blind Cool Tech. And today, it's radio again, and I'm going to talk about the Sea Crane 2 radio, or CC2, as some people prefer to call it. I'll give you my email address. It's d.trethewan, T-R-E-T-H-O-W-A-N, at me.com. That's d.trethewan at me.com. And I repeat that towards the end of the podcast. Thank you all very much for your feedback. A lot of you seem to enjoy the review I did on the CCSW, and a lot of you seem to have been looking at the various bits and pieces I've written up on my blog about that and associated pieces of equipment. And I've got a few comments to approve, so I'll get onto that when I can. With one thing and another, it's pretty busy here at the moment. And a happy Easter to you all, by the way, as I'm recording this on Easter Monday, Australian time, April the 25th, which just happens to be Anzac Day in Australia this year, the commemoration of the 1915 Gallipoli landings. I think it was 1915, and excuse me if I'm wrong, lest we forget anyway. So now to the CC2 radio. Once again, you can look at this radio and its specs, download its manual, and look at reviews by going to the Sea Crane website at www.seacrane.com. Follow the radios link and look at AM FM radios, and you'll see the Sea Crane 2 there. I believe this is similar to the Sea Crane 1 and the Sea Crane Plus. I've never owned any, but I'm sure I'll find out from people commenting. So what's different about the Sea Crane 2? Well, the first difference between the Sea Crane 2 and the other Sea Cranes I just mentioned is that the Sea Crane 2 no longer has the US TV broadcast bands as part of it. In the US, you have all gone to digital TV, I understand, so Sea Crane has replaced that particular feature with something which I would consider probably more interesting. And we'll talk about that a little later. We in Australia too are in the process of switching over to digital TV. So the analog TV band from the US would have been completely useless to us anyway, regardless of whether we did or didn't have digital TV, because you use different frequencies, let alone different systems to what we do. You have NTSC and we have PAL. That's the main difference, as far as I know. I also am led to understand that the Sea Crane 2 is more sensitive than previous Sea Crane models. But apart from that, cosmetically they look the same, though the controls may be different, and I will touch on that towards the end of the podcast again when I've described the radio to you, because there is a similar radio out there which is sold in Australia, which looks very similar but is vastly different. Okay, so to the top of the Sea Crane radio, and on the top we have 8 buttons which are extremely well laid out and very easily identifiable. On the left hand edge at the top is the band auxiliary button. This toggles between 4 bands: FM broadcast band, AM broadcast band, the weather band, and the amateur radio 2 meter band. So this is the feature that has replaced the analog TV band, and what a nice feature to have on a radio if you're in an emergency situation or you want to hear what's going on in an emergency situation in your area, then flick to the 2 meter amateur radio band, move around the dial, and see who's talking about what. To the right of this band selector, we have the weather band priority light switch, I think it is. Now, we don't have the weather band service in Australia, though we could do with it. So I can't really go into any more explanation, but I'm sure many of you in the US will know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, back to the band selector switch. On this radio, many of the buttons do various actions depending on how they're pressed. For example, if you press the band selector and let it go, it moves between the bands. If you hold it, however, it turns to the auxiliary function. There's an auxiliary socket on the back of the radio, so you can plug in your talking book player or whatever and hear it through the speaker of the Seacrone 2, which actually sounds very nice. So a perfect amplifier, and you'd want one if you have one of the early APH bookport machines where they have no built-in speaker or anything like that. You might even want to use it just as a temporary measure if you're testing computers and you can't get access to a pair of powered speakers easily. Okay, then we have five round buttons which are easily identifiable because they've got numbers 1 to 5 written on each, and they are the memory buttons. 5 memories for each band, so 20 memories in all. Makes it easy. So if you're on the fly and you know that your favourite station is programmed into memory 1, you just press memory 1 and the radio will tune to that station. And easy enough to set too. Tune to the station you want, hold down the memory button for 5 seconds and that station is tuned into that memory preset. On the right we have the power on off sleep timer button. So when this button is pressed, the radio is turned on, and if it is pressed and held down, it enters sleep mode, and if you press the button continually, it cycles between your standard sleep times from 30 minutes up to 120 minutes. On the front now, on the right hand side front, going down from the on-off button, we have a very large display which has a small light button in the left hand top corner. According to the manual for the Seacrone 2, Seacrone use their special LED bulbs for this light, and the manual claims that the bulb will last for 30,000 hours, which is one hell of a long time. So when the radio is on or off, if you press the button and the radio is running on batteries, the light will stay on for 8 seconds. If it's running on power, then the light is on all the time as a backlight, though it can be turned off by pressing the light button. To the left of the display is the large speaker with the word Seacrone written on the lower left-hand corner. It's the standard speakers that Seacrone are famous for, big and nice sounding. Then on the right-hand side, again going down from the display, we have a series of buttons. On the left to the right of the speaker are 4 buttons: time set, alarm set, timer set, and display toggle. It's obvious what those buttons do. To the right of those we have bass and treble controls. Above those we have up down buttons for time set and tuning and associated functions. On the right hand side up the top we have the jog dial, which is used for tuning or fine tuning, or for time set, and for setting the squelch on the 2 meter band, where it pushes in for the additional functionality. It also has an intro scan function. So, for example, if you're listening to AM and you press it in and turn it one way, it'll scan up and down the bands, finding stations and letting you hear around about 3 seconds of each before it moves to the next. Handy. Below that is the lock on off switch. Moving the switch up enables the lock. Moving it down disables the lock. Below that is the volume control. Now to the back. And since we're on the right hand side, we find 3 sockets. On the top is auxiliary in. The middle is your timer socket, which enables you to plug in something like the Sea Crane voice corder to be turned on and off at particular times. And below that is the line out socket. Moving to the left, along the back, we have 2 screw terminals, antenna and earth. Then comes the battery compartment, which protrudes from the radio itself. It takes 4 D-size or 4D flashlight batteries. On the left hand side at the back is the 110 volts power in jack. I'm a little disappointed that Sea Crane use this system on this radio, because it means I have to use my step down transformer if I want to run it on power. I would have preferred they adopt the same principle as they've used in the CCEP and CCSW, where you plug in an external adapter. But no matter, a slight inconvenience. On the left hand side, there's absolutely nothing. Now, another thing to look out for if you're in a country outside the US is that this radio tunes in 10 kHz steps on the AM band using the up and down buttons. So you have to know your mathematics, because the stations in, say, Australia and every other part of the world via the US are in 9 kHz steps. So there's one way around it. For instance, the bands go from, the AM band goes from 520 to 1710 kHz. So you might use the up and down buttons, adding 10 to the scale as you count. So you might start from 520 and you press it again, it's 530, and you press it again, it's 540, and you press it again, it's 550, press it again, 560, and so on and so on. So suppose you have a station at 558 kilohertz. Well, obviously you would use the up and down buttons to get to 560, and then use the tuning knob to click down to 558. And then, of course, you can set one of the preset memories and it won't drift off to one of the 10 kilohertz steps. It will stay on that 9 kilohertz step that you tuned. So that's how I get around that. Okay, let's have an example of what I'm talking about. I'll turn the CC2 radio on and press memory 2. That tunes us to 2GB, which is a radio station in Sydney, Australia, broadcasting on 873 kilohertz. And we're tuned to 873 kilohertz, and Sydney is around about 500 miles away from me. So it's a distant station. If I press the up arrow button on the CC radio 2, it tunes to 880 kilohertz. So it went up from 873 to 880. If I press the down arrow, the radio tunes to 870 kilohertz. Now I know 2GB is on 873 kilohertz, so if I turn the jog dial 3 clicks clockwise, I'm on 873 kilohertz. Note that the jog dial doesn't mute, which is a very, very nice feature. So I can turn the jog dial. Just like an analog radio, and go through my stations, or I can use the up and down buttons. Like most radios, the up and down buttons have a seek function. Hold either one down and the radio will seek in an either up or down direction until it finds a station. Now, AM is very sensitive on this radio, and here's a note of warning. For people considering these radios, if you're looking for long distance stations and you have powerful transmitters in your area, you may be disappointed. The CC2 and the CCEP radios both use single conversion circuitry, and in my experience, having a powerful transmitter in my area, the powerful transmitter can make parts of the band unlistenable. So if you are in that situation, I would recommend that you purchase instead the CCSW radio, which has dual conversion circuitry, thus eliminates a lot of that problem with powerful transmitters in your area. I have an example here of a powerful transmitter interfering with a frequency on 594 kHz. Which comes in from a transmitter 200 miles away. The powerful transmitter is a 50 kilowatt one, around about 15 miles away. And listening to the transmission on 594 is virtually impossible. And this 50 kilowatt transmitter also interferes with a fair bit of the top part of the band from around about 1500 kilohertz upwards. With the CCSW radio, I have no trouble at all. And the CCSW is not all that far behind the sensitivity of the CC2. They both use the twin coil C-Crane aerial. So both are very sensitive, certainly more sensitive than your average radio. Perhaps one could say that the CC2 is a little too sensitive, given the fact that it has that overloading problem. And I certainly wouldn't mind if C-Crane charged me a few extra dollars to upgrade the receiving circuitry and turn it into a dual conversion radio. It would certainly be worth the extra money. As it is, I think you're looking at around about $130. So it is around about the same price as the CCSW. Okay, I did say that a similar set was available in Australia. Similar looking, but very, very different. I've told you the bands that the CC2 has. They are FM, AM, amateur 2 meters, and the weather band. The Australian model is called the Outback Radio and is available through Dick Smith stores. It has the FM and AM bands but has a long wave band. It lacks a lot of the features of the CC2. It doesn't have the auxiliary in, line out or timer out functions, nor does it have the timer. It does have clock and alarm. And the layout of the switches are considerably different. And I won't go into that here because if I did, I would cause some confusion. The Outback radio isn't as sensitive, but it's sensitive enough. Certainly, again, more sensitive than most radios on the market. And it doesn't have the overloading feature I described a little earlier. But it does have a slight problem with interference from its own processor. It's not a loud noise, but if you touch the display and you're trying to listen to a weak station, you can hear the processor of the radio interfering with the reception. The jog dial is similar, but it mutes when turned and doesn't have the extra functionality of the jog dial of the CC2. The jog dial is far nicer to use on the CC2, far easier to turn. So that about wraps up the differences between the two. I would also say that FM reception isn't as good with the Outback radio as it is with the CC2. Well, I think I'll leave it there, and in my next installment, if no one has done it before I have, I will talk about the amazing Sea Crane tunable twin coil antenna. So this is Dane Trethown, and here is my email address again. It's d.trethown@me.com. That's d.trethown, T-R-E-T-H-O-W-A-N, @me.com. Talk to you soon. And again, have a happy Easter. Okay, let's have an example of what I'm talking about. I'll turn the CC2 radio on and press memory 2. That tunes us to 2GB, which is a radio station in Sydney, Australia, broadcasting on 873 kHz. And we're tuned to 873 kHz. And Sydney is around about 500 miles away from me. So it's a distant station. If I press the up arrow button on the CC radio 2, it tunes to 880 kHz. So it went up from 873 to 880. If I press the down arrow, the radio tunes to 870 kHz. Now I know 2GB is on 873 kHz, so if I turn the jog dial 3 clicks clockwise, I'm on 873 kHz. Note that the jog dial doesn't mute, which is a very, very nice feature. So I can turn the jog dial just like an analog radio, and go through my stations, or I can use the up and down buttons. Like most radios, the up and down buttons have a seek function. Hold either one down and the radio will seek in an either up or down direction until it finds a station. Now AM is very sensitive on this radio, and here's a note of warning. For people considering these radios, if you're looking for long distance stations and you have powerful transmitters in your area, you may be disappointed. The CC2 and the CCEP radios both use single conversion circuitry, and in my experience, having a powerful transmitter in my area, the powerful transmitter can make parts of the band unlistenable. So if you are in that situation, I would recommend that you purchase instead the CCSW radio, which has dual conversion circuitry, thus eliminates a lot of that problem with powerful transmitters in your area. I have an example here of a powerful transmitter interfering with a frequency on 594 kHz, which comes in from a transmitter 200 miles away. The powerful transmitter is a 50 kilowatt one, around about 15 miles away. And listening to the transmission on 594 is virtually impossible. And this 50 kilowatt transmitter also interferes with a fair bit of the top part of the band from around about 1500 kilohertz upwards. With the CCSW radio, I have no trouble at all. And the CCSW is not all that far behind the sensitivity of the CC2. They both use the twin coil C-Crane aerial. So both are very sensitive, certainly more sensitive than your average radio. Perhaps one could say that the CC2 is a little too sensitive, given the fact that it has that overloading problem. And I certainly wouldn't mind if C-Crane charged me a few extra dollars to upgrade the receiving circuitry and turn it into a dual conversion radio. It would certainly be worth the extra money. As it is, I think you're looking at around about $130. So it is around about the same price as the CCSW. Okay, I did say that a similar set was available in Australia. Similar looking, but very, very different. I've told you the bands that the CC2 has. They are FM, AM, amateur 2 meters, and the weather band. The Australian model is called the Outback Radio and is available through Dick Smith stores. It has the FM and AM bands, but has a long wave band. It lacks a lot of the features of the CC2. It doesn't have the auxiliary in, line out, or timer out functions, nor does it have the timer. It does have clock and alarm, and the layout of the switches are considerably different. And I won't go into that here, because if I did, I would cause some confusion. The Outback radio isn't as sensitive, but it's sensitive enough. Certainly, again, more sensitive than most radios on the market. And it doesn't have the overloading feature I described a little earlier. But it does have a slight problem with interference from its own processor. It's not a loud noise, but if you touch the display and you're trying to listen to a weak station, you can hear the processor of the radio interfering with the reception. The jog dial is similar, but it mutes when turned and doesn't have the extra functionality of the jog dial of the CC2. The jog dial is far nicer to use on the CC2, far easier to turn. So that about wraps up the differences between the two. I would also say that FM reception isn't as good with the Outback radio as it is with the CC2. Well, I think I'll leave it there, and in my next installment, if no one has done it before I have, I will talk about the amazing C-Crane tunable twin coil antenna. So this is Dane Trethown, and here is my email address again. It's d.trethown@me.com. That's d.trethown, T-R-E-T-H-O-W-A-N, @me.com. Talk to you soon. And again, have a happy Easter.